Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company without Jeffrey for the final day. Jeffrey's back tomorrow, but I'm here today. I am your host and your hero, Kevin Cerrito, joined alongside on the other side of the glass, George Ruggiero. What's up, George?
Good day.
Yes, good Kevin, day. Good Monday to you. Tournament week
Monday
is here.
Oh, yeah.
School is back, or slowly, the trickling back throughout the, seems like we started last week with DeSoto, slowly making our way each day. Somebody else starts. But school is back. The tournament is back this week. The golf tournament, of course, which we'll, I'm sure, talk quite more about throughout the week. Not much tournament talk today, but who knows? We might touch on that. We got a lot to get to, actually, even though it is the absolute slowest time in the sports year. But we do have some news developing today. We'll get into, of course, ESPN was in the state of Tennessee over the weekend, and so was the rain. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the preseason coaches poll, which came out. And we've got a lot to get into there. As far as guests joining me, we got lots of company coming through here, George. Today it is Monday, so Coach Norton Hurd IV will be here. He's got a ton happening as well. You know, back to school week can really be busy for everybody. Coach Hurd slotted in to join us in the 3 o'clock hour, so we will hear from him. We have a special guest joining us here on my finale, filling in. Where's my finale? I'll be back on Wednesday, so
for now
get 24 hours off. But the my finale, filling in for Jeffrey, we have your U.S. representative from Tennessee's 9th congressional district. Big time Tiger fan, one of the biggest Memphis Tiger fans on the planet. The guest star of this season's of the rehearsal on HBO. Yes, Congressman Steve Cohen. Congressman Steve Cohen will join us in this hour. He's scheduled to join us. I want to talk to him about the Big 12, about all types of different Memphis athletic related topics. Gets his thought on that. Congress on recess this month here. It's not just a slow time for sports. It's also a slow time for Congress. They are not in session, but we will have a congressman here live on 92.9 FM ESPN a little bit later on. I don't know if you caught it. He had an appearance on the HBO show The Rehearsal, which I recommend everybody check out that season. It's very interesting, and we'll see if he actually ended up watching it now exactly, his appearance on that show from a few months ago. But we'll talk to Congressman Cohen at 2:30, which means, wait a minute, that's usually when Jason Munns is on. Is this Jason Munns' music?
It is. This is his choice of song for the day.
It's his song for the day. Is that his music? This is my wrestling reference, George. I got to get you more into the...
You do.
Understanding references to wrestling, which I don't have to, with Jason Munns. He is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can find him on X at Munsley. Jason Munns joins the show now to kick off today's program. How are you, Munz?
I'm good, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you here on this Monday after SummerSlam, because we're going to get into some basketball talk, some Tigers basketball at the end of Friday news dump at the end of the week last week. The Tigers announcing their final non-conference game. We'll talk about that here in a minute. And the NCAA announcing some news about the March Madness tournament here just a little bit ago. We'll talk about that in a moment, but I wanted to start today on SummerSlam, which I got to say, Munch, WWE has moved stuff around on the calendar quite often, and we want to talk about that here in a second, but you have to tell me what song this is, right? We got to tell me what song this is. What song is this? What we got?
It's a song, it's called Guts, and it's by a band out of South Texas called Glare, and it's just sort of a I don't know, like a hazy sort of type of song for a Monday afternoon in the middle of summer.
I like it. Do we have a Munz Spotify playlist here with all of your songs that have been on this show? We need to keep
Oh, that's a good question.
Let's get that together.
If anybody has it, I don't.
You don't.
No, I don't. But
could George go back in his text and create this? George, can you do this?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we should do that.
I can get a little bit of work done. I can work on that for you guys.
So we need to get the Jason Munz Spotify playlist. Okay, SummerSlam was this weekend. No, practically no sports going on. Let's be honest. This is a slow time in the year, so I got to give kudos to WWE for as they move things around. They picked this weekend. I was like, this is the perfect weekend of the year for them to have SummerSlam. If they want to get attention and they want to get people talking on sports radio about one of their events, they picked the right time, because I believe next Sunday there'll be NFL preseason, right, George? According to my calendar. So what a great selection. You like this weekend as the pick, or is it too close to back to school?
No, I think it's great. I think it was. I mean, as it turned out for me, it wasn't so great. I didn't get the chance to. I caught the, like a lot of the. I caught it mostly recap wise. I didn't get to see it live, and I didn't get to watch the full show. It's just like what's so hard is that, like, my year is pretty much wall to wall, and so the very select few weekends and here and there a couple of vacation weeks, like those are so few and far between that they're packed to the gills. Like, a lot of stuff piles up over the course of the year, and this weekend just happened to be one of those weekends where I was having to, go down the list of things that had been waiting to be addressed for a while. So I didn't get a chance to really to see much of it, but I did catch up on it, and I know what happened. And I saw some, like I said, I saw some highlights and everything, but I thought it was fine. I thought it was good that it was this weekend.
Yeah, we'll get to the specifics of that. I love the weekend, but also, to your point, I don't like these two day events. Like, because let's be honest, we just don't have time. Why are they trying to, like, you don't need any more, like, there's just too much wrestling. And don't make me feel like I can't watch it. You probably were like, man, I miss Saturday. Do I need to watch Saturday before I watch Sunday, right? Like, if you're doing something on Saturday, it's like, yeah, could I just jump to Sunday and then miss Saturday? I'm watching the highlight. There's just, it's too much. We don't need two nights. And I didn't feel like enough happened to justify the two nights.
Never mind that you've also got SmackDown on Friday. It's
right.
Bookended by SmackDown and Raw. So it's really four nights of wrestling, and, like, Lord, love it. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a big fan and everything, but too, there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. And, sometimes, and, it just, yeah, like I said, it just so happened that this weekend was not conducive for viewing 10 hours of a PLE.
No, they were in New York, New Jersey for this one at MetLife Stadium. Did you, watching that, give you any were you like, oh wow, yeah, definitely Memphis could hold one of these events at Simmons Bank Stadium? Or were you like, my goodness, this Simmons Bank is way, this is, it's not going to be holding wrestling events like they're talking about?
I still think that there is, if it's like desirable on the WWE side, I think that Simmons Bank, Liberty State, I think Memphis and the Mid-South if you brought, and I'm not under any delusion that the WWE would bring something like SummerSlam or WrestleMania, even like certainly WrestleMania, but even SummerSlam or Survivor Series. Like, is there a Survivor Series anymore?
Yeah, there's still Survivor Series. I mean, they've been doing, I think they just recently started Money in the Bank in stadiums. Royal Rumble, definitely in stadium, but it would be, they aren't going to do that outside in Memphis in January. So there's limited real estate for it.
I think the Mid-South would support it at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. I just don't know if the WWE would, it seems like they've sort of, dialed in on some select cities, that get to a certain level in their mind. And so I just don't know if they would ever bring it here, but I think if they did, the Mid-South would support it for sure.
I definitely agree with that. I think the location, like, can Memphis support a team in a larger football conference? Memphis is still waiting for, like, they give us the opportunity, we will show you that we will go to it, but you just don't get the opportunity for it very much. So last night, the big story coming out of SummerSlam, I mean, I predicted on this show on Friday, I was like, this is the weekend we're finally going to put an end to the miserable heel run of John Cena. And it came quicker than I thought, because Friday night, what many were like, is this a swerve or not? But John Cena comes out, does a promo. He's upset at practically blaming The Rock and Travis Scott for his heel turn, that he listened to the wrong people. And he quote said, he was trying to pretend to be something I am not, which is exactly what the entire Cena heel run felt like. It felt like somebody trying to pretend to be a bad guy wrestler. It was awful. It's over. They pressed the reset button, and maybe it was like not a very cool, like as cool as the heel run started. I can't remember a babyface turn that was as lame. Like, he didn't come to somebody's rescue or anything. He just pretty much said, we're done with this, and we're pressing that reset button. So Cena on Friday pretty much became a babyface, even though we were like, yeah, can we believe it or not, going into Sunday night, last night. It's official, John Cena back to being old school John Cena, real John Cena, and had one of his best matches I can remember in probably a decade. It wasn't an outstanding main event to SummerSlam as much as the rest of the show was kind of uneventful.
Underwhelming, so to speak. Yeah. I saw, a lot of what was written about it and what people were saying about the Cody Rhodes John Cena match, and it sounds like it was a great one, like especially held up against, as you mentioned, the rest of the weekend. It stood out, and so that's good. But yeah, no, like I actually was super excited when Cena turned heel. Like, I thought this has real potential to be something exciting and something different.
It could move the needle. It could get lapsed fans back. It could get you wanted to pay attention very quickly to what was going on.
But the ball got dropped almost as soon as the turn was made.
Right.
Like, it was part of a larger storyline that just straight up got dropped. And I mean, I've seen some stuff that's been written about that and talking, there's been a lot of talk about how that all fell apart or whatever. And it just took WWE, I think, too long to get the train back on the tracks. Like, even after the initial heel turn, like some of those first promos that Cena did, where he was like chastising the fans and that sort of stuff, like that, I thought was like, I was there for it. And then, but again, pretty quickly after maybe a couple of those promos, it was just like abundantly clear that something had gone wrong somewhere. And it just took them too long to rip that Band-Aid off, but they did it. They finally done it. And order's been restored. And so, well, at least we think, who knows?
Well,
who knows?
Well, yeah.
That's what I thought after watching the thing on SmackDown on Friday. I thought that was a work. I thought that, it was Cena setting something up for the next night that was going to keep the storyline going, but apparently not.
Yeah, apparently not. There was a consensus among wrestling fans, wrestling, anybody following it, like that people want at this point, because this is seen as last year. That's why this is such a real, legit story worthy of talk on the radio, even though it is, it's August. You can talk about, there's not much going on at all. But like John Cena turning heel should have been a massive moment for professional wrestling. It was for a second. It fizzled out. Cena's back being a babyface for his final run in WWE. So we finally got what everybody, I think we all agreed on. We wanted Cena to turn back babyface. Let's cheer him on for the last 6 months of his career. So we finally got that back and the match ended. It's like, yes, finally, John Cena's where we want him to be. We can cheer him and be happy with it. And then something nobody asked for happened, which was Brock Lesnar came out, which for those who, Brock Lesnar has been gone from WWE for 2 years. And Brock Lesnar returns. And for those who do not know, Vince McMahon is no longer associated with WWE because of a lawsuit brought by Janelle Grant, that the lawsuit involves, as a big part of the lawsuit, is Brock Lesnar and his involvement in what is some trafficking and very just awful, awful allegations from Vince McMahon. He's not in WWE at all. So many people thought we would never see Lesnar again in WWE. So he's back now, and of course, as sickening and stupid as that is, it makes no sense for me why you would bring back a guy with this much baggage. It's an ongoing lawsuit that's happening right now. It has not been settled. Why would you bring him back? But also, just like that aside, like, why does Cena need to wrestle Lesnar again? Why can't he be wrestling somebody young? Muns, are you keeping up with the Cena final run? He's wrestling Ron Killings and CM Punk and Randy Orton, and now he's going to bring in Lesnar. Why is he not wrestling any of the young future stars? Can we not do a feud with Dominic Mysterio or something? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, this has sort of been one of the knocks of the last however long, right? I mean, like, you, how many times is Goldberg going to come back? How many times did trot the Undertaker back out? I mean, like, there was, it just seems like every time, they're building to some sort of crescendo, it just feels like, it just sort of, it fizzles. Like, I mean, The Rock has been able to sort of pull it off, like,
right, yeah,
coming back a few times over the last couple of years. Like, he's been able to pull it off, but it feels like every time they've got a chance to do something really cool, or not every time, but a lot of the times they have a chance to do something really cool, they just don't. And this certainly falls into that category. I mean, not that anybody should, and not that I am setting aside all the stuff that you just talked about.
Right. It's like, hard to do. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't do that. But on the other hand of that conversation, like, so I'm watching the clip of Lesnar's music hitting and him coming out and everything. And it's like, okay, the place goes crazy or whatever. And it's like, that's great. And then he tries to do the move that he does. When he comes out,
the F5, yeah.
Well, the kick. No,
he does the kick. Oh, okay, yeah.
Standing up at the top of the stage.
Oh, that thing. Yeah.
He can't do it anymore. I mean, like, he barely got his, like, his foot didn't even come up to his waist, and it's like, I mean, I thought he was slowing down the last run that he had,
right,
and, 2 years later, it's just abundantly clear that he doesn't, for multiple reasons, belong on our TV sets or, whatever, however you're watching the show.
But I mean, yeah, add that to another list. Like, is he even, he's not the dominant force that he once was, like, physically in the ring, on top of all of the stuff that we're not going to get too into detail now that people can look up, which I recommend they do look up. If they're cheering on the Brock Lesnar return, you should get the full story and information on what's going on with Brock Lesnar these days. But I just get, like, Cena's he's coming back for his final run, and yeah, he's wrestling all the hits. I guess Coach K's last year, you definitely want him to play North Carolina and stuff, but still, it's like, why are we seeing Ron Killings and CM Punk and Randy Orton and Lesnar as these final opponents? Yes, he technically passed the torch to Cody, but Cody is 40. Cody's 8 years younger than Cena. Like, is Cody going to be doing this in 8 years? Can Cena beat or lose to somebody younger at some point here on his way out? And maybe Gunther's the guy who just beat Goldberg. Maybe they're going to set him up for it. And there's still chance maybe for a Seth Rollins something. Seth Rollins now has another belt. Does Cena go for 18? I don't know. but there's not many Cena dates left. I don't know if you've seen this, Munz, but like per Fightful.com, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Cena matches left. That's it. Nine more Cena appearances. Maybe these are appearances or matches, but he's scheduled for August 8th SmackDown, and all of these are internationally. So if you're hoping to see Cena again live in person, you're going to have to either go to travel to France, Ireland, or Canada, or Australia. I think there's some Massachusetts shows, and looks like Chicago and a San Diego. There's three U.S. shows left, three or four U.S. shows with Cena.
I don't know. It just feels like there are two like candidates for how it's going, you know, how
the retirement match
wrap up for him. And it's either Seth Rollins or Randy Orton, in my opinion. Like Randy's still, you know,
they just did the Randy Orton thing.
I know. But like, I still think there's more meat on that bone. Like, especially if it's like the end, but I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it ain't Brock Lesnar.
Right. But look, I mean, the Brock thing, it looks like so a lot of Cena's appearances, four more of them coming this month, according to Fightful, which Cena, one of them is WWE's Clash in Paris on August 31st. So I'm guessing that'll be the Brock match probably, unless they do a thing on SmackDown, which I would be surprised. But if they're going to take it to the end of the month, and then Cena shifts gears for September, October, November, and December, his retirement match, which is rumored to be at a Boston Saturday Night's main event. I do think Gunther's a contender in there, Munz. I think Gunther just retired Goldberg, so would they have him retire Cena as well? I could see that being turned into something of interest. But I don't know. And all of this on top of it, so last thing here on SummerSlam, we'll get into some basketball real fast, but the other news coming out of SummerSlam, WWE has been doing these work shoot press conferences following the big pay-per-views, the premium live events, as they are called. And this is this weekend, they decided we are no longer going to do those press conferences where they really invite legitimate media members there. There were no press conferences on Saturday or Sunday. So Saturday, the talk was they're not doing the press conferences. And it was like, well, it's obvious because Triple H was just, rubbing elbows with President Trump, so he didn't want to take questions about that. So they're like, "Oh, we're not doing press conferences this weekend." And then last night, you see the Lesnar come out, and then so you've got that scandal. It's like, well, they definitely don't want to take questions about why you're bringing this guy back, who's involved in this active lawsuit against the company. And so, interesting timing. Did you ever like those post press conferences?
No, hated them. Thought they were. I mean, it just, I don't know. It was enough. Like it was, I did not like those. No, to answer your question. And I had not heard that they were stopping those. So that's to me, that's great news. I did see that they're still doing like the, post show. I saw where
they're doing a post show. Yeah.
Like a panel. They had like Joe Tessitore and Big E, and they would bring people up on the panel or whatever. And like, and the fans are kind of behind them, almost the way they do after football games and stuff, where there's still some fans in the stadium or whatever, and then they got the little panel on the sideline or whatever. Like, that's fine. I don't need it, but it's fine. And I saw, like, the one that I saw was Charlotte and Alexa, and they were still very begrudgingly doing their begrudging friendship thing, and I don't know how I feel about that, but it's neat that they won a championship, so that's great news.
Yes,
they're popping those press conferences.
They were so bizarre that I enjoyed watching them, because it would be a lot of the wrestling media asked the easiest questions, but then occasionally there'd be one question that would be serious, and Triple H would be awful at answering the serious questions.
Yeah.
Like whatever, like they tried to ask something serious, and it was so I liked watching them, but it did no good for WWE, so it makes sense for them to stop it. It was not what they should have been doing. A controlled post game, doing their own inside the NBA after, makes a lot of sense, and then other quick notes real fast from SummerSlam I thought were interesting. A lot of people were wondering if Seth Rollins was really hurt or not. He wasn't. He cashed in Money in the Bank. Jelly Roll made his in-ring debut, and I'll tell you, Jelly Roll He's no bad bunny. You know, it's not, and it's not the only time I've ever said that sentence, but shout out to the stars of today. We have Jelly Roll and Bad Bunny, the biggest names, and they're also wrestling. But Jelly Roll, he used to stick to his day job, as they say. And yeah. But we did see Tyrese Halliburton was there. Everybody's favorite Indiana Pacer. I think that's fair to say, right? He was booed. Everybody but, of course, the New York crowd booed him. And in the main event, John Cena grabs Halliburton's crutch, because he's still on crutches. He grabs his crutch and uses it in the match, because it was a no disqualification match. So Halliburton's crutch getting involved in the main event of SummerSlam last night.
Interesting. I didn't see anything about that, but no, the Jelly Roll stuff. I saw one of the clips, the one that, you know, probably everybody has seen, whether they're a wrestling fan or not, where Logan Paul comes off the turnbuckle and onto the table, and on the Jelly Roll is laying on the table. And, you know, it's, I saw some of the stuff that Jelly Roll was doing in, it wasn't a match, but it was still sort of in the ring leading up to SummerSlam. And it was just kind of painful to watch, even that. So I would imagine watching a full-fledged match with him, even though it was a tag match, was equally as painful. And reading the reviews, it sounded like it was. You know, not that he certainly was, you know, couldn't, like, he could do stuff.
He was fine.
He was
doing
stuff.
Yes.
But, like, it did seem like, you know, just a fan kind of who has spent what, I guess, the past year and a half, trying to get himself ready to do what he did. Like, you know, maybe one day if he keeps at it, but no, Bad Bunny is like the stuff that he did in the last, what, 3-4 years.
Right.
Like, some of that stuff was really, really impressive. And obviously what Logan Paul's doing is also very impressive.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's one of
So, but those two guys are in class of their own.
And yeah, Jelly Roll more like Karl Malone or something.
Yeah,
from back in the day. Like, he was fine. He didn't look totally out of place, but didn't, I mean, you know, it was obviously a stunt there. All right, before we let you go, March Madness is officially not expanding for now. The news coming out this afternoon from the NCAA, the tournament will remain at 68. However, there's pretty much, they emphatically said at the end of the quote, their release here, they're going to recommend expanding to 72 or 76 teams in advance of the 2027 championship, which is just a year from this season.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's just sort of delaying the inevitable. There was talk. I mean, they're not just talk. Like, a lot of people assumed it was probably going to pass in time for the 2026 March Madness. Ultimately, it did not. You know, whether you like it or not, it's coming. The expansion is coming. They're gonna either do it by 4 or by 8. And I don't really have any strong feelings or strong take about it either way. I mean,
but you like it the way it is, right? I mean, we agree with that.
Yeah.
So
No, I mean, I do think I can argue the pros and cons of both sides, because I do think there are pros and cons to both sides. But you know, it's just you can't fight City Hall on this, I think, and it's only a matter of time now. Even as they put in their own release, it's only a matter of time that it's gonna expand to include, you know, these first four outs and last four outs for the past few years. Like, you know, they're going to now be in the tournament. Once this does become official, it won't be for next year, but it will probably be for the year after. And, you know, that'll be exciting, I guess, to some people. But I do think it sort of waters it down. But at the same time, like, if it creates some more excitement and, you know, you get some more Cinderella runs, then that's fine by me too.
Right. Yeah. We'll see how, and if it helps the Tigers in the long run, it might. We'll find out. But speaking of the Tigers, we'll get back on track next Monday. I promise. We're talking about the Memphis Tigers with you. But thanks for joining us earlier on here in the show today, because we're going to be joined by Congressman Steve Cohen here in the next segment. Thanks, Munz.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. When we come back, he is your congressman. We're going to take a very short timeout and be back right back with Steve Cohen. So stick around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Jeffrey's still vacationing. Kevin Cerrito filling in here today as we get to our next guest. He's one of the biggest Memphis Tiger fans on the planet. He was a guest star in the most recent season of HBO's The Rehearsal. And he is your U.S. representative from Tennessee's 9th Congressional District. Please join me in welcoming Congressman Steve Cohen to the program. Congressman.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon. Great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. I know Congress is on recess right now. So what does that mean for you? What are you doing here with your August off?
Well, lots of meetings with constituents. We're going to have a town hall next on the 11th of the month at Mississippi Boulevard Christian Church, which is where we had one in the spring, have another town hall, and we'll be meeting with constituents and visiting some locations where we've been invited to visit businesses and or community areas in the district. So when we're off on break, I don't necessarily take a vacation. I'm not too much on vacation. Work is what I do, and I'll be doing work.
All right. I want to talk to you about some other, you know, non-pressing issues today, more the stuff that means a lot here to, you know, the people in Memphis, like the Memphis Tigers, your favorite team. And recently there was an unsuccessful bid to get into the Big 12 that involved a lot of money from a local corporate and booster support. What were your initial thoughts when you found out about that deal? Did you know about it before? Or what's going on here with the Memphis Tigers trying to get out into a better conference?
I only know what I read in the paper about the deal and the Tiger supporters who offered commercial help to the Big 12 conference, et cetera. But I had asked, it was a different Big 12 commissioner, I believe, at the time, but about 5, 6, 7 years ago, we tried to get in the Big 12. And there was a meeting of legislators who were interested in college sports, and I'm one of them, with the Big 12 commissioner and maybe a few other commissioners. And I asked the Big 12 commissioner at the time about Memphis, and we weren't included. That's when they took Central Florida, Houston, and Cincinnati. And they had some other teams they considered after there was some complaining about Memphis, and they were still interested in possibly in Tulane Rice, and another school that was a little better academically, but not so well on the diamond or the court. And they were interested. I said, how can you consider them and not consider Memphis? And he just looked at me and he said they were not even a factor. It's academics, and they're not even a factor. Now, the academics have gotten better, and I know President Hargrave and the whole university is happy about being a peer one or stage one research institution, and that's important and good. But the undergraduate program still has deficiencies with its incoming classes and some of the curricula there. So I guess that was the reason, and that was the reason 6 or 7 years ago, and it's still the reason. And it's unfortunate. We need to get in a better conference to have the basketball program be successful and the football program to go to the next level. And we're not going to do it playing and beating East Carolina and Tulsa and UAB, et cetera. It's not going to happen.
What do you think the Tigers should do now that they got turned down by the Big 12?
Well, I think the athletic director is a smart, savvy guy. And I don't know whether he will just wait and hope that the ACC is probably going to implode at some point. It'll probably want to stay around in some capacity, and maybe we'll have a chance there. And, of course, he was at Virginia and might have knowledge and access and some. But what it comes down to is, can they make money? And Fred Smith was a great supporter of the Big 12 push and 6 years ago, and the FedEx. So I think he'll probably wait on that. I don't think he wants to do the Pacific Coast Conference. I thought that there might be something good. It's a long way away. And some people said do that in football and try to get in the Big East in basketball. But, you know, and we were in the Big East for about 2 months or something. Had our name up there on Times Square and big billboard. But the Atlantic Coast is probably our only hope, and I guess. Clemson wants to go somewhere bigger. Florida State wants to go somewhere bigger, and maybe Miami will too. And maybe their TV markets, because Miami's is, and Clemson's a power, and Florida State's been a power, and maybe Virginia would be another one that might. And then they do seem to consider academics when they look at Virginia and they look at Clemson. I don't know that they'll go to Duke, but they could take four schools, and the ACC will need four schools. And I think Tulane comes before us, the way things have looked. And South Florida may come before us, but if they take three or four schools, we'd be third or fourth.
Oh, wow.
That's a hope.
Yeah, it's definitely a different time now. The outside of the Tigers, the Memphis Grizzlies, there's a story out there. Mayor Paul Young was trying to get the lease signed for the Grizzlies by the end of the summer. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen anymore. Do you have any thoughts on the status and the importance of the Memphis Grizzlies here to this area?
They're totally important. I mean, Fred Smith's passing is the biggest loss that Memphis has had in recent memory, and hope Richard Smith can try to fill those big shoes, and Brad Martin is the chairman of the board, but that's a big loss to Memphis and to Memphis State and possibly essentially to the Grizzlies. Pittide does a lot, but Fred Smith is the man. If we lose the Grizzlies, I think it could be devastating to the city. It would kill our pride. It would kill a great institution that brings people together. The Grizzlies draw diverse racial economic crowd, and that's something you don't get otherwise in Memphis. I think it's important to the community. I hope that we continue to have the Grizzlies. We're a very low TV market franchise. And I forget Robert Pera is his name, I guess.
Yes.
He never shows up around here, so maybe he watches the television. I don't know what he does. But hopefully, and he always sells the team. The team's worth a ton. I mean, the billions of dollars goes for these teams, and no matter where the market is. And somebody might want to buy them and move them to Vegas or Seattle or wherever. So, I mean, I don't know if we can keep the team forever, but if we can, hopefully we can.
When
we lose them, it's a terrible day.
When you're walking around shaking hands in Washington, D.C., and you say you're, you know, the representative of Memphis, what do people say to you?
Well, I mean, they say a lot of things, but, you know, Memphis, sometimes somebody might bring up the Grizzlies, and rarely do they bring up the Tigers, but the Grizzlies might come up. Elvis comes up and barbecue comes up. That's the main two things, Elvis and Q.
So Elvis, barbecue, and Grizzlies. But are they talking about your appearance on the rehearsal? So HBO's rehearsal season two and the penultimate episode featured an appearance by Steve Cohen. You were Nathan Fielder visited your office in Washington, D.C., which I have before. But I did not bring cameras, and I did not try to convince you some unorthodox plan to fix aviation in this country. What, looking back at that, are you happy you had him there, or what are your thoughts on Nathan's visit?
It was fine. I didn't know who he was, and some of our staff people knew his show and seen the first show, and they liked him, and they said he was funny, and he was a big time guy coming up and all. And I thought I didn't know much about him and hardly anything. I didn't really do a lot of book work on him. He was pleasant enough and to talk with, and we did talk some after the show and after the broadcast and all that. I think it was okay to do. A lot of people have asked me about it. There was a guy, I was at the airport yesterday in Washington, flying home, and the guy came up to me who teaches at Grizzly Prep, Eddie Walsh, and he mentioned that he'd seen the show and talked to him and wanted to mention some about Nathan Feeder. We talked about a bunch else too. But a lot of people have come up and mentioned being on the show and they saw me, and that's never a bad thing to have done. It's not what I've thought back, when did this happen before? And I was on Stephen Colbert very early in my time in Congress and Better Know a District episode that he had. People talked about that, and it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of attention in an arena that's other than politics, especially when you're in the minority during a unusual presidency.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you go back and watch the season of the rehearsal? I'm guessing you watched your episode at least.
I watched my episode. I don't know if I watched the whole episode or just watched the part he had with me. And I didn't really get back to watch his other shows and stuff. He apparently people love him. He's got an unusual sense of humor. He's kind of I don't know if that's just a shtick or what he is, but he's got a very unusual personality, and it's kind of altered and a little bit difficult to deal with. You don't know where he's coming from. And I didn't know either. I talked to him. He claimed he wanted to talk to me about autism, and I had a bill on, and still have a bill on evacuation of airplanes in a quick manner. So supposed to be, people can be evacuated in 90 seconds, and that they don't really accomplish that with the tests they do. They're unnatural and improper. So we're trying to emphasize the need to get people out of planes. I think this crash they had recently somewhere was 10 to 15, I forget what caught fire, maybe the landing gear or something, but 10 to 15 minutes to get everybody off.
Oh, wow.
But he said he had an interest in that, so I thought it was good to do the show because the Evac Act, and we could talk about that. But then I thought maybe autism had something to do with difficulty of getting people out. And my concern is always people have disabilities, or people have a dog with them, or a young child, or people who are over 65 or under 16 or 18. I forget. They have a bottom age limit. It might be 16 or 18, but there are a lot of younger people on the plane, and there are a lot of people over 65. And they had none of those people, and nobody with a disability, and nobody that it wasn't a representative sample of a typical airplane flight. So I thought autism was just another class of person that might have difficulty in coping with an evacuation, and maybe that's what he wanted to talk about. But he didn't want to talk. He wanted to talk about pilots and talking to co-pilots and thinking that was a way to decrease crashes because of the relationship between pilots and co-pilots. And that's been studied by others in the aviation industry, including the FAA, but other groups, and they see there's no correlation whatsoever. And they don't have a problem, and it's something that they have in their continual education as the pilots, co-pilots work together and work as a team, and they do that. So it was just something he came up with, and he thought it was a big deal. And, you know, we talked a bit, and he never really got it in the back hat.
Right.
And I didn't think he might have brought up autism, but whatever it was a shtick, and it was fine. And finally, I had to get up and say, you know, it's nice to meet you. And, you know, did not hope you'd guess on my name, but it's nice to meet you. And I've got to go on and do some other work. And he just kind of sat there, and he finally got up, and that ended the broadcast, the show. But afterwards, he stayed around for a few minutes. We took pictures with each other and talked about some stuff and friends I had in the industry that he knew and might have known and whatever. So he was a little more engaging than he was on air. On air, he was kind of a nerd.
Well, for those who don't know, Nathan Feeder is very – Memphians will remember Andy Kaufman, right? Like, Andy Kaufman had a special approach to things. And
Andy Kaufman was brilliant. He's not Nathan Feeder's world.
Okay, not in the same world. But he did mislead to get into your office. It seemed like he did mislead what he was doing to get into your office and talk to you
about
this.
No, he never brought up anything about airlines, about pilots and co-pilots, and he had all these studies he'd done and brought out these, handed them to me when he was in the office. He didn't bring that up. He allegedly wanted to talk to me about autism.
I think what I would recommend, Congressman, as you have, you do have probably a few extra hours this month than you usually would throughout the year. And I know you're focused on working for the people of Memphis in the United States. But if you do have a few times, you know, to knock out some hours while you're traveling, I'd recommend watch that season, because he does bring up, while his approach is not something that neither one of us necessarily would have thought of to do it, he makes some interesting points on airline safety and knowing the co-pilots knowing each other. Now, how he presented it to you and stuff, not the smartest way. But he ended up, you know, he's a pilot. He's a pilot now. Like, it's a spoiler alert, but he's a pilot. So anyway, I would recommend, Congressman, you checking out that whole season if you can stomach it. I know you are very close to it. But for those who watch that, they know you are the ranking member of ranking members.
I was the ranking member on aviation, but I was appointed to the Intelligence Committee, which is a very sought after committee, which I had sought for quite a few years. And to get that spot, I had to give up the Transportation Committee spot. So I'm no longer the ranking member on aviation, and I was just there long enough to have my moment and with Nathan Fiedler.
After that,
an area where I have the moments I have to be kept to myself, or I'd have to kill you.
Right. That's what it's like. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you have gone from the Transportation and Infrastructure, but you committee to subcommittee over to Intelligence. That's that does seem like a much more serious, all of it's serious, especially these days. But I did want to ask you about MATA, since you do have so much experience tracking this stuff with transportation. There's a MATA scandal going on with the credit cards and the spending. What is happening with MATA? Is somebody going to jail over this? What have you seen from this? I mean, why does MATA have a suite at FedEx Forum for Grizzlies games? That doesn't make any sense.
Made no sense to me either. And as far as anybody going to jail, it's Steve Mulroy or this new fellow who's recycled. The U.S. Attorney's Office would determine whether or not there's anything there that's federal or criminal. But yeah, the idea of them having a box was just anathema to me. I couldn't believe it. And I've gotten a lot of money from that over the years. Electric buses, and trying to get a system where they can have a new maintenance facility out near the airport where they could charge the electric buses, because their maintenance facility is awful and it's just kind of on a hole there around Chelsea and sinking, as I understand it, and other monies for the trolley and different things that are important and good, and people need mass transit and need to get around to get buy the groceries and see their physician and just do their daily chores. But what they were spending money on, it was just astronomical, and there were great, tremendous credit card bills that they had and buying all these goods. And I go to Grizzly games, and I share my tickets with two other fellas, and that's enough games for me. I don't know who they have go to the games and who they give the tickets to. I don't think they give them to the riders.
Right.
And that's not the money, but I don't usually eat there. But they were buying all kind of stuff in the suite for, you know, all those. And the suite, the food in the suite. I usually end up in the suite once a year. Somehow, like, you know, go up there. And they've got a pretty nice smorgasbord up there. But to have it on the taxpayer's dime, especially on an agency that deals with people that are less blessed than most, it's just bad.
All right, we're wrapping things up with Congressman Steve Cohen. This week is the golf tournament happening in Memphis. And I know recently you were a big part of making sure St. Jude got $3.4 million grant to St. Jude in a time where a lot of people were worried about money going to science and research. St. Jude getting this recent grant here.
Well, I think they suffered. I think there's still some other grants they might not have gotten.
Right.
And there's been a ton of grants in the billions of dollars range that deal with cancer and deal with heart disease and deal with stroke and deal with diabetes and those are in Parkinson's, you name it. That's where the discoveries are made, is through grants and eventually treatments and or medications. And I've always said that the Department of Defense is important. But each of us individually, I mean, we could have a bomb, and I know that from just general overall knowledge, not anything from my committee work. But the likelihood of Russia shooting a nuclear weapon at the United States or China or Kim Jong-un or whoever is not very likely. But the odds of us being attacked by cancer or Parkinson's or diabetes or stroke is very likely. So the Department of Defense, in my opinion, is the National Institutes of Health that provide the research grants to come up with the cures and the treatments. And then to cut those is just foolish. And it's foolish. I mean, the purpose of the government is to protect people and protect people against foreign adversaries, but also against disease. And we are the leader in the world on research, and we need to continue to do that. So, yeah, I'm happy St. Jude got it. And you bring up the golf tournament. I read about it today, and it's the history of the tournament. I was reading back. It's been here for 67 years or something. I remember back in the early days, I went out there, and I've got a photograph of Ben Hogan that I took at Colonial. And Ben Hogan was in the tourney, and Tommy Bolt was I think he might have won. That's a name from the past and maybe beyond your time. But Ben Hogan, everybody knows Ben Hogan. But there were small crowds out at Colonial. You could go out there. I was like 9 years old then. But you could hang out and be right up there among them and get autographs and see all the stars. And it's grown into a great tournament and gets because of Fred Smith largely, but also St. Jude. And just a lot of people come. I think it it wasn't Guyberger who had the 62. It was Trevino. I think Trevino might have had a particular fondness for St. Jude, but some golfers have really been supportive of St. Jude, and one of the reasons they came to the tournament and gave it a kind of a nice panache.
Yeah, you mentioned Fred Smith. It is a kind of bittersweet tournament this week. They will be honoring Smith with a moment of silence. They've got a FedEx flyover plan for the tournament this weekend as well. Do you have any Fred Smith stories or memories you'd like to share?
Well, I'm going to speak at his service, as quite a few elected officials are. Fred was just a remarkable human being. You didn't think of Fred Smith as being businessman, universal businessman, known and respected throughout the entire international business community and political community, and he was. He was just, whenever I dealt with him, he was just Fred Smith and took my phone calls, and we talked about stuff, and he was nice as he could be, and he cared about Memphis, and he cared about the Tigers, and a brilliant man, and it's just a terrible loss. You can't think of hardly anything. I'm sitting in my house right now, and thinking up the streets of the zoo, and Teton Trek, he's funded. His daughter lived out there, and she died of unusual illness, and she was a photographer, and they've got her photographs in the lodge. But he did that expansion, and Diane, his wife, was the president of the board and very involved in the zoo. You go to the stadium, all that new stuff is Fred's pledged a lot of money to that, and he pledged a lot of NIL money to Memphis, the University of Memphis. The National Civil Rights Museum, he was always available to give. He did so much for the city, and he did it with the St. Jude Golf Tournament as well. We had that crowd came in here, the Shyster investment crowd. I forget, Stanford or something, and they almost broke the tournament. Fred saved them.
Right.
It's the only thing that could be as much of a loss. If we lost the Grizzlies, it'd be the same as almost as losing Fred Smith. It would destroy this community's soul.
Yes. Congressman, I appreciate you taking some time and joining us here today. I'll give you the last word if you have any message you want to say to your constituents here to wrap things up.
The only thing I can say to my constituents is thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve. I've served just about all my life, and I thank them for my votes as a commissioner, as a senator, as a congressman. And I think they know I work hard, and this is my job, and I stay on it 24/7.
Congressman, thanks for joining us, and go Tigers.
You're welcome. Go Tigers.
Congressman Steve Cohen, working for you even during his off month. We've got some lots still to get to here today on the show, George. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we got Hurd joining us. Coach Hurd going to join us? Yeah. Coach Hurd's going to join us on the other side. It is a Monday. He is usually the company here. So Hurd will join us when we come back. You are listening to Jeffrey Wright & Company without Jeffrey here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.